Hey, what's going down? Thank God you checked that out. We were muted the whole time. You're on the recovery pod. It's not as good as the first one, but okay.
That's good.
So that, yeah, really good observational skills you have there. All right. So I was watching this pod the other day, and there was like a little skit in the beginning, and he basically ended up like having this little skit about mental health, going to a therapist, you know, these behaviors just kind of flying and trauma being the reason, right? So then he just made a comment in it, and he's just like, there's like this mental health wave where people are kind of using trauma as an excuse for shitty behavior, right? And it just got me thinking, like, you know, being addicts, one, being like, oh, I'm an addict, so, you know, I'm just am this way. Character defects, you know, like, it's like one extreme or another, but there's that like fine line of acceptance where you just like discover why you are the way you are, but letting that kind of be the excuse for your behavior. So I was kind of wondering what you thought about that. Since you just said it while we were watching that show, I was like, oh, maybe that'd be a good little topic to dissect a little bit.
Yeah. I've had way, way too much compassion towards people with trauma. Like, no matter what, you know, what comes out of it. 'Cause there's like two kinds, right? There's the kind that makes you be shitty to people, and then there's the kind that makes you be shitty to yourself.
Ooh.
And I have the one that makes me shitty to myself. So I was thinking the other day, actually, I'm like, you know, when I look at people that have trauma and they're, you know, shitty to others, they're like bullying or abusive or whatever, like, you know, my instant thought is like, okay, you have trauma, but that's no excuse, blah, blah, blah. So then I'm like, you know, when I act out on my trauma, it's like, why am I looking at that as excusable?
Mm-hmm.
I do. And I have been. Oh, you know, I just, you know, fucking been.
Well, I mean, that's like what a lot of people do. It's just,
yeah, so whole, that's
this what, is the way I am.
So that's what I mean is I've recently just realized that I was part of that whole gang of people.
Gang. Gang shit.
A lot of gang shit.
Self-deprivation in the house.
Deprecation. Self-deprivation.
Self-deprivation. I deprive myself of love is what I meant.
So, yeah, I'm like, why the fuck am I doing that? You know? So it's, I mean, it's the only reason why it's not like so socially acceptable. The trauma that makes you shitty people isn't socially acceptable because it's like for society, you know, you're bad for society. But what if you're bad for yourself, you should still be bad for society. Like, but yeah, I need to start looking at that as just as harmful. But yeah, no, I mean, people will use anything as an excuse. Like, when it comes to anything, you know, like, I don't really want to get political, but just like, you know, when...
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Texas, you know, people take advantage of like social security, you know, disability and stuff like that. Not, you know, some people, most people don't, but there are people that will fucking do that.
Well, there's people who take advantage of anything,
right? There's just like, it's just in our nature. So just taking advantage of the fact that you can say that, oh, you know, I'm just traumatized. And yeah, so that is my thought on that.
well, like
that to check myself.
Like, so I feel like the identifying trauma, like that's where we mess up because we use it as an excuse. First, it's like the denial,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, I'm just going about my behaviors. They're justified because so-and-so did this or because I experienced that. Then we can identify them really at the root, like, okay, this is what's going on. And this is maybe why I respond in some of these like automatic ways, you know. But then that's not where it stops. Like people think, oh, well, this explains why I am the way that I am. Whew, what a relief. It's almost like you could use that as a pass to feel like it's not your fault or it's not your responsibility. And to a degree, it doesn't have to be your fault or not your fault, but it is a roadmap to the problem. And just because you have a roadmap to the problem doesn't mean you fix the problem or you don't address the problem. You just located the source of the problem,
mm-hmm.
you know? So instead of like going on these behaviors, it's like, oh, well, I'm just socially anxious. You know, that's why I am this way. That's why I have to do these things. Well, I just am depressed or I've just experienced trauma. So that's why I snap with my anger. You know, like you just got to understand this is just who I am. You know, I've been through things. So when I act like a shitty person, you should just understand. And it's like, no, like you understand why you respond that way. But just like addicts, like I understand why I'm an addict. I understand what kind of behaviors kind of contribute to me being more of an addict and more unconsciously out of control of my behaviors, not even just like using, but just automatic behaviors. But I am responsible for my health. You know what I mean? Like they say, you're not responsible for your addiction, but you're responsible for your recovery. So I'm not responsible for my trauma, however it happened, but I am kind of responsible to heal it. Or to address it, or, you know, yeah, with like therapy, with medication, with whatever the answer is, you know, that inner work, I'm responsible for my maintenance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like when people find it out about themselves, there's like, well, I don't know. I feel like either people become the victim of it, like they're victimized mm-hmm. by it, or they will try to like jump to the other side of the extreme and like try to control people and just stuff like that, like try to become like in power.
Kind of like making up for it, like
yeah,
compensating.
Yeah. And mine, like, I don't know, I feel like I've been flipping around like and everywhere, but the final form that I have taken
my final form.
It reached the final form. And it was a victim. Cause I'm just thinking back, like, oh, you know, my family did this. And my mom did that, and my dad, and everybody and stuff like that. And this is why I turned out like this. So I put all the responsibility onto them. And I just, like, this is all subconscious that I just noticed a little while ago. And
like today?
A little while ago. Maybe like, I mean, it's been a couple months now since I've been thinking about it, but I will think like I'm powerless, like I am the victim of my past and I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I become aware of moments in my life where, you know, when there's like a trigger of it, right? And then I can feel myself falling into victim mode. Because like before I was on the compensation spectrum. So I had to make sure I didn't get to that victim mode because that is worse. So like, I would protect myself with that. But now it's like, I realize I don't want to protect myself. I just want to be, I want to know, I want to feel. So I jumped to the other side. Mm. And so that's what it is beneath all that. Just like this poor fucking victimized little shit. But, but yeah, so I feel like now I can even out. Because, you know, it's that extreme black and white. So that's also another thing that's a trauma response, which I actually just talked to my therapist about today, and I didn't fully understand what was wrong with black or white thinking. I really didn't know that. And it's because you either have a right answer or a wrong answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's also like part of OCD, where you need certainty. So if you're not certain about yes, then you have to be certain about no.
Right.
You can't be in the middle, because that is unknown. That is uncertainty. And that blew my fucking mind. Like, so that's why jumping from one extreme to another is comfortable. It's certainty. So yeah, that was, because I'm like, the unknown, what the hell, what? But then, yeah.
I have a secret of the universe I'd like to share with you and everyone listening. All of the problems in the world, all of the problems of your mind, all of the things that make you feel spiritually unwell, all of them exist in the past and in the future. The answer for trauma, the answer for anxiety, the answer for depression lies in this moment. Now in this moment. Now in this moment. Not that one. Not the one I just talked about, because that's the past. We are in this one. So like, I actually watched a video today in training about spiritual recovery, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be whatever, right? And, you know, like, what? Yeah, I already know, whatever. And it was talking about ego, and it was talking about presence, and it was talking about all these things. And it wasn't really new information, right? But it was explained pretty good. And I put his book in my Amazon cart. Oh, what was his name? Caldwell Nichols, I think. No, for real.
What?
Caldwell Nichols. Hey, what up, homie?
He's got a book. Sorry to laugh at your name like that.
He's got a book called The Egoless Self. And, you know, I read the reviews. They all said it's really, really good. It's really well written. It's simple, yet very descriptive, yet, you know, just, you know, it was good. So I'm excited to check it out. But he was just talking a lot about that. You know, he's got a lot of the same views I got, where like, it's all the same thing. It's the self, it's the soul, it's Christ consciousness, the Tao, Buddhism, inner peace. Like, it's all the same shit. And it's all within, and it's all now. You know what I mean? Like, depression is the past. Anxiety is the future. All these things, that all of our problems exist everywhere but here. Right. So when I think about trauma, that's the past. I'm reliving the past. I'm reopening old wounds. I'm telling an old story. I'm dictating my future or my present based on feelings, thoughts, and emotions from the past. And then future, like, I'm worried this is going to leave. I'm worried this is going to happen. I'm worried this is how the rest of my life's going to play it out, you know? Whereas that's where my trauma responses come from. It come from experiences of the past, you know, collections of thoughts and emotions from the past. I'm worried they're going to last forever in the future, or I'm experiencing them right now, but it's not just what's happening right now that's upsetting me. It's what's happening right now, plus all my thoughts and emotions from the past of similar things. You know, that's not to say, oh, just knowing this is going to make it never happen. But knowing it is half the battle. Like, if you're aware of it, if you're aware, like, this emotion I'm feeling right now is a magnified emotion from the past. So we stop fucking worrying about the problem we have right now, the emotions we have right now, the situation we're in. We have to, our goal is to get back to presence. It's like, all right, yeah, I understand we're in the middle of an argument, but I'm feeling a lot of past trauma responses. I'm feeling a lot of future anxiety. I'm feeling a lot of I'm feeling a lot of everywhere but here right now. So before I can even continue this conversation or this problem or process this thought, this one thought that's now clouded by 50, I need to get back to the present, because these 50 thoughts only exist in the non-present. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he didn't say all that. I'm kind of just going back on a tangent, but like, it's just so important to understand how much problems exist outside of right now, you know, and knowing them. Like when I didn't know about the now, when I didn't know about past and present, when I was really identified with my thoughts, I didn't even, it wasn't even a concept to me that they weren't things to consider. So I would be run by them for days, you know, but now at least knowing them, maybe I'm only run by them for like 5 minutes. Maybe I'm only run by them for a couple hours before I remember, you know, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is some all, it's like some other shit I need to get back to right now. Right now. Right now.
This right now or that right now?
Right now.
So I understand. Okay. So when I first read Eckhart Tolle, and I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta stay present. I can't, you know, my trauma triggers are from the past.
Why you always give them such a weird voice?
No, that was me.
Oh, okay.
That was my voice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Stay the present. And then I'm like getting a trauma trigger, and I'm like, my whole body's fucking shaking, and I feel like I'm about to die. And I'm like, okay, I know that I'm in the past right now, and I can't get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain level that has to be worked through with trauma, because it is stored energy in your body that needs release. It's down on a physical level. And I mean, I guess I'm kind of, because your body sensations, aka feelings, are in response to your thoughts. So it's your thoughts that are sending out those signals to your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you kind of almost have to really catch it immediately, which means, which I've said this, I think, in the previous pod, where you have to stay almost constantly in observer mode in order to catch that in time. So like, you know how you tell me about when you're triggered, like you feel like you want to run, or you feel like you want to, you know, you just get, I can't even explain it, 'cause I don't know what that's like, but
mm-hmm.
that, like, do you feel like you can just catch yourself in that moment and be like, oh, these are just my thoughts? Like, it, you can feel it in your body. So like, it's something you kind of just have to stay afloat.
It's really hard to do. It's hard to stay in the same situation and then regain my presence. You know what I mean? I almost have to at least leave the situation, or like, I don't know. I don't really need any certain terms, but it comes down, if I'm just thinking about it right now, doing what I need to do for that moment, right? So if that moment, I feel like I could get more present and centered by, I feel like it's just as much force in trying to control an outcome for me to make myself feel like I have to leave a situation as much as it would be for make me myself to feel like I had to stay in the situation. Does that make sense? Like, Like, I shouldn't specifically have to leave, because that's me telling myself the old story that I need to go isolate and be alone mm-hmm. to achieve something like presence that could be achieved anywhere. But at the same time, if I force myself to stay because I feel like I need to stay for the sake of breaking my old pattern, so therefore I'm future planning, therefore I'm just kind of not honoring the moment because I already am dictating this plan based off my actions in the past, or what someone else wants me to do. You know, maybe someone else doesn't want me to leave a situation and wants me to regain my presence with them present so they can gain presence. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I'm not talking about anybody specific.
What you're talking about.
Well, I'm saying no, but check me out. Like, and I'm just kind of spitballing all this right now. What's the problem either way is trying to have a preset plan and somewhat based off past, future, or someone else's intention, when in every moment you should just honor yourself. There's been moments where I've been in the middle of, you know, tension and have regained my presence because that's what I chose to do. You know, there's been times where, yeah, I've had to leave and didn't regain my presence, couldn't regain my presence. And then there's times where I try to stay or try to do what someone else wants me to do, whether that's stay in an argument, whether that's stay in a situation where there's, like, I don't know, using or some type of toxic behaviors involved. If I'm doing it against what my presence is trying to tell me to do, it's hard. I almost can't get there. You know what I mean? Like, it's like I'm trying to do what I think I should do rather than just doing what I need to do in that moment. Sometimes the moment says walk away, and then in 2 minutes it says, okay, I'm good to go back. Sometimes the moment says, you know, try to stay, and then, you know, it's like, okay, that was cool, or no, fuck that, get the hell out of here, you know? I don't know if that's making sense, but
it does. But, like, that's the thing about presence, is it doesn't tell you to do anything. It's not something that's just sitting there. That telling is your ego.
Ooh.
Anything that fucking talks and you can hear it, that's not like your presence or higher self. That is ego. So to control the external environment to get present, like, you have your body anywhere you go, and you can do that at any moment. Now, and, you know, it depends on what your intention is behind it. Like, if you feel like you need to escape something to feel better, like, that's escaping something to feel better. You know what I mean? And I just, you know, I guess this is a really tough one.
Okay, don't leave the topic if you're planning on leaving, because my ego wants to respond to that.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to think.
Can I talk while you think?
It is. It is. You know, but I guess.
All right, let me jump in.
Okay, whatever.
So I get what you're saying. And yes, presence doesn't require anything specific of you, right? Ego does jump in, you know, ego's the one with the wants, the conditions, the patterns, the whatever. However, I will say that ego does play a part. So if an ego, you know, is going to continue to be more of a problem in one capacity than another, then maybe my presence is, you know, I'll stop saying my presence. My present thought, my present indicator of what I need to do to kind of address this, I could tell when my ego is going to be more difficult to deal with or not. So maybe that's a situation where I kind of adjust and listen to my gut, you know what I mean? Listen to my spirit. So I'll say spirit instead of presence. Presence is a thing. It's not anything a part of who I am. It's just kind of
like intuition.
A state I attain. Yeah. Like, you know, I'd love to say, oh, I can go sit in a house full of druggies who are toxic, you know, problematic, using, and just sit there, gain my presence, and be completely unfazed. I'm sorry. I feel like that's asking a lot. Could it be done? Sure. Is it going to be easy as sitting in a garden by myself with a fucking Zen fountain behind me? Absolutely not. So just because it's ego doesn't mean it doesn't play its role. You know what I mean? So in situations where you feel like you need to do what's best for you, what's common for you, what's challenging for you, I feel like the gut's a good indicator, you know, and I think it's good to kind of listen to that. It's good to challenge your old behaviors and patterns when you can, but ultimately it's also good to kind of know when to just kind of go somewhere you can recenter easier.
Yeah, I guess the recentering thing is, it is better to do it alone. But I was just thinking, like, just breaking it down to, like, on a very basic level that you don't need to be in a certain place to get present. But yeah, I mean, if you got, and it depends on the severity. I mean, yeah, if you are surrounded by a bunch of, like, druggies, then yeah. You don't want to be surrounded by druggies that are using in general when you're in recovery, like no matter what you're in. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what to say on that.
Well, why don't we have a new random topic? Oh, random topic indicator. Let me pull up my note app. Are you still listening with us? What are you doing?
I was watching a video.
All right, here's one. Here's one. Absorbing perspectives.
I like that. So, you want to start?
I'll go.
Absorbing is a really strong word. So I'm curious to know what your thoughts on that part were.
I literally wrote nothing else down besides absorbing perspectives. All the other topics I have like little paragraphs. And this literally is just one line that says absorbing perspectives. So I don't remember writing it. I don't remember what I was thinking about it when I put it in there. I kind of just jot things down, whether it's sounds like a cool title or it's just something like I feel like will give me some thoughts. So I guess when I think about it, I'm kind of like, I'm pretty solid these days. I used to be very wavery in early recovery or like late addiction. I literally could not stand on shit. I couldn't be like, I love Game of Thrones, because someone else could be like, Game of Thrones is fucking whack. And I'd be like, you know what? It is kind of whack. You know what I mean? Or I could be like, yo, this is my favorite fucking movie in the world. They're like, that shit's dumb. And I'm like, I can see why you say that.
Did you feel like you were invalidated a lot? Like your thoughts and feelings were?
I don't know. No, it's just, it was my own internal thing where I just had really trouble standing on shit. And maybe it was from invalidation. Yeah, I went through a lot of shit in my C-word childhood, you know what I mean? But like, my point is like, when I'm around, I even experience it nowadays, but I've been more solid in my last few years of recovery than I've ever been in my whole life. I kind of stand on my shit, you know, I know what's up for me, and it's really hard for people to truly shift my perspective. However, when I'm around people, I noticed it a lot at work with people who smoke marijuana still. You know, marijuana is not a drug, it's legal, blah, 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 blah. They believe what they're saying. They are where they are in their recovery. Maybe it's not a problem for them. It's hard for me not to get sucked into that perspective sometimes. Like, it could be like something, even like a 2-minute window where like I go, like it almost just sucks me in and hypnotizes me, where my whole mindset shifts, you know, and it just grabs a hold of me. And maybe that's my addict brain. Maybe that's just, but it's when I'm around too many people, especially if I got like a group and half of them do that, they don't talk about it in group, but I know it about them. It's so weird how sometimes I feel like I can't stand on recovery as strong as I can if there's like 10 of us and there's a newcomer in the meeting. You know what I mean? Like when me, you, and our, you know, fucking recovery NA posse is together, I feel such a strong recovery presence and I can stand on recovery like with everything I have. If you put me in a room with 10 stoners, I don't feel that. I don't feel that confidence. I don't feel like I can stand on that. I almost absorb their perspective.
Okay. No, that actually, that opens my eyes wide to you always say how you're like, oh, I just want to be able to feel how I feel. Like, you're not letting me feel how I feel. It's like, I feel like that's probably where that came from.
You don't make this about me and my own invalidated feelings?
I'm sorry, I just said so.
You want to talk about how I can't feel how I feel? I feel like I'm absorbing perspectives over here.
So, yeah, I look at it like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of the word absorbing. I think of the word just seeing. But even though I see why others feel the way they do, if I see it from both sides, then I can pick a side and I choose my side. But I understand their side. So if I be in a room full of addicts who are using and who are just super, you know, like, you know, like if I were to be at your job doing what you're doing, I would probably, I mean, I would really feel them. Like I would understand why they're like that, why they can justify it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still, you know, have my perspective and I still understand like mine and why I feel how I feel. So I think of seeing perspective as a really, really good thing. And because, you know, everybody has a reason as to why, you know, they say and what they say and what they do. Like there's a reason, you know, because I've noticed a lot of people in this world, they like to be like, oh, she's fucking crazy. I don't know what she's talking about, or like, I don't know, this person's weird. Like they, you know, they on some weird shit. But like, I don't like thinking like that anymore. Like it's very, I never did. I always needed to make sure I understand why somebody says or does what they do. So for me, it's more of like, I like the knowledge behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really appreciate it. Like even like a serial killer, right?
God, what are you talking about?
What?
Go ahead.
It's like, I try to understand the perspective, you know? I'm not trying to justify it. I don't agree with it, but yeah.
Well, I think there's a difference between seeing perspectives and absorbing a perspective collectively. Like, so maybe you just haven't experienced absorbing a perspective, you know? Mine's more, and maybe it's just a me thing. Maybe I'm just terminally unique over here, but like,
special.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm special as fuck. But no, I mean, we absorb perspectives when we come into meetings, you know what I mean? When we get into recovery, you know, it's not like the first thing we do right away, but you know, people, you know, speak to us. We could feel a collective energy in the room. When you go to a meeting, when I went to meetings in the beginning and people didn't want to be there, guess what kind of energy I had?
You don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Then when I went to a meeting where people were legit, like happy, hopeful, positive, and I mean like the real ones who like stand on their shit, who are just passionate and who are just like, yo, like you can do it, this is like it, this is the life, like I believed it. So it was like, all right, like I feel your energy. So yeah, there's times where I hear people talk about their moderate use or the, how much of drugs and alcohol aren't a problem for them. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying, but nah, that ain't it for me, right? But then there's times where I don't know what it is, if I'm off or if they're just like, just super selling it or there's too many of them, where I'm just kind of like, I don't, it's so hard to describe, but it just fucks with me. And like, I feel the energy, just like if I'm around, you know, I could be all about like inner peace, doing the next right thing and helping people, but get around people who think like, you know, selfish, who think, you know, oh, you know, you're soft, life is a fucking like best man win, you know, like you got to go take what you want in life. And it would just feel like harder to stand on. And that's probably more a me thing, but I feel like it just gives me that. So yeah, maybe not absorbing perspectives, because absorbing is more like I'm taking it and making it mine. I feel it hard, and it's hard for me to kind of feel my own around too many of opposite perspectives. I don't know. Now so, I feel like I sound dumb.
No, you don't. So you are what they call, well, they don't call them, I just made this up.
Who are they?
A thought empath.
Ooh.
Like there's like
a thought empath?
A thought.
T-H-O-T? A
thought. You're a thought.
Yo, can we please name it thought empath? Yeah. Please. Yeah. I won't, but I want to. Unofficial title, thought empath.
So there's feelings empaths, right? Like me.
Yeah, I ain't got that.
Huh?
I don't got that.
You don't have feelings. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can feel the egos in the room circling.
I'm an ego empath.
Like a nasty oh my fart.
God. Ego empath. Yo, that is fucking a fire term.
And you just smell it. And you can't stop smelling. And you're like, damn it. Oh, you just God. Accept.
I could smell the ego shit in this room.
It's in my nostrils.
Ego farts, dude.
That's probably why you can't smell anything else that well, because all you smell is ego smell farts is all ego.
I smell your ego fart right now. You light an ego candle up in this bitch.
It's a little toot.
Oh, what did you eat for ego breakfast?
More ego.
I eat little pieces of ego like you for lunch. Oh, dude, no, that's legit though. Like I definitely not all the time. And honestly, yeah, there's just a few key moments that stuck out with that for me. So I don't want to keep going down that road, because honestly, the more I talk about it, the more I'm living in the past, the more I'm telling an old story, the more I'm identifying with thought. And the more, honestly, I feel like I'm easily susceptible by other people's opinion. And that's just not true. But in those few moments, I don't know if I'm spiritually off. I don't know if I'm tired. I don't know if I'm around too many strong personalities. I don't know if it's just that fucking time of the month for me where I'm just a little old behavior susceptible to other people's opinions or, you know, wavery. Because, I mean, hey, you know what? I'm not perfect. And as much as I've changed a lot of old behaviors, there's still times where they present themselves, and that might be one of them. But anyway, no, for the most part, I stand on my shit these days, but I can definitely feel other people's thoughts way easier than I can feel their feelings. Like someone can come in and be emotionally a fucking wreck. I feel nothing. Like, I can sympathize for them as a thought. Intellectually, mm-hmm. I can understand where you're at. I can feel like I would know where you're at mentally and understand why you're doing the things you're doing, but that's all thought. Like, I cannot feel you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I never thought of thought empaths before. That's pretty, that's a pretty cool concept you came up with there.
I just want to say real quick, like you, it sounds like a lot of the time you're really worried about like retelling the old story and bringing up the past, but you know, you can look back, but not stay there. Like it's important to look back and not stay there.
Right.
How are you gonna work through things and, you know, without being able to talk about it? And you're aware in the moment that you are just talking about the past. The fact that you're aware already that you're not talking about right now, you're talking about back then, that's already big. The big issue is that people, when they bring up the past, like it's in a way of like this is, you're living in the past right now. And that's what's not healthy.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's not that I'm referencing the past. I'm saying I am these ways and they're all from the past. So like right now, when I just did what I just did, I probably experienced that little thought empath moment once in the last 2 months. And, but maybe like 5 times stand out over the last year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So telling that story, I thought about the one time, it brought up the other 5 times, and I literally just thought empath myself into thinking I'm that guy. Like I started feeling more and more like I just absorbed my own perspective, my own false old storytelling perspective. I just absorbed it and felt way more magnified. Like, and I didn't realize I was doing it till just now. So like we can absorb our own perspectives when we tell the old story, when we tell ourselves we're antisocial. You know, when we first got together, I'm just like, oh, I don't know, I'm antisocial. You're like, you are like the least antisocial person I know around here. And I'm like, am I? You know what I mean? Because in my head, I have a whole lot more evidence in my past life that I'm super antisocial.
Mm-hmm.
But in my recovery life, I'm a social butterfly. Yeah, yeah, I have my moments where I'd like to go home and just do my own thing. And, you know, mostly when I'm tired or just kind of blank or burnt. So, but the story I tell in those moments, or sometimes I feel really social, I'm just used to going home after work to play my game, to do my thing, to fucking get in the studio. Like, I'm not used to going out and hanging out with people. I'm not used to socializing voluntarily, you know, only at work and shit and meetings. So I could be presently feeling social, but the story is I'm antisocial. I don't hang out. I go back and isolate because that's what I like to do. So whether I like to do it or not anymore, I'm absorbing my old perspectives by telling the old story.
Hmm.
So like, I'm never antisocial until I bring up conversations talking about how social or antisocial I am. I say the old story and I feel the effects of it. I feel like I resume that role. It doesn't last forever. I go back to my normal after I get present. But yeah, I mean, like, that's why I always talk about like not telling the old story, not telling the old victim story, because all I'm doing is reinforcing. Every time I tell an old story, I reinforce it. You know what I mean? So that's why it's good to like tell new stories, tell you so what's going on today. You know what I mean? I can go, ever see people in meetings where they come and they just say the same shit. They just say the same shit they did, how fucked up life is, how much people wrong them, how fucking woey they are, you know, and whatever changes, nothing, because they're just still telling the same story. They can come in a great mood. And when it's time to talk about what's going on in their life, they bitch and moan. They talk about all the down shit, which sometimes we need to. But when that's all you do, you tell the old story and then they leave feeling like Mr. fucking victim again. So,
well, that's because those people will come in and they'll talk about it over and over again, but they don't try to change anything about it.
Right.
They don't try to do anything about it.
But that's, I'm just talking about what happens in the moment, though. They relive it.
Right.
But reinforce and slip into a role.
But in your case, you can talk about it and then do something about it. And then if you have to bring it up again, it won't be like you're retelling it. It'll just be like, I guess, progression of it. You know, like I catch myself retelling the same story sometimes. Like I do. But I'm okay with that because one, I need to get this shit off my chest. And two, I know that I'm trying to work on it. I want to work on it. And I try to. And I'm okay with coming in and talking about it again. You know?
How many times do you need to tell a story before it's off your chest?
Well, the first time is getting it off the chest.
Well, I'm saying if you're like, oh, I need to say it to get it off my chest. But if you're saying it again to get it off your chest again, did it ever get off your chest?
The first time.
Or did you put it back on your chest when you started talking about that old story again?
Nope.
No, yeah, it's a mind fuck. And I feel like it's just one of those things. Like, it's not the ultimate. You know, but in moments where the old story gets told, I feel like the old character. Does that make sense?
It does.
It doesn't become my new baseline. It doesn't define my life. But when I tell the old story, I become the old character. Just like when I go into in any situation, when I own the role of my old character, I feel like the old character. And that's another thing too I was thinking about earlier.
You don't have to own it.
I know. I'm just saying we subconsciously do. You know what I mean? We say the old story, we hear the old story again, and we believe the old story. You know, otherwise why would we say it? But like, none of us are predetermined to do anything. You know what I mean? Like, we do these things because they're easy. They're neural pathways and all that shit and habits and, you know, conditioning, whatever. But for the most ultimate level, none of us are set programmed to be any which way. If you're, you know, rude and obnoxious, you don't have to wake up tomorrow and be rude and obnoxious. You can be polite and you can be, you know, different. You know, it's harder because you're not used to it. You're, you know, it's not first thing that pops in your brain is probably like an insult before it's a compliment. But like, we all have choices. You can say the insult or not. You can, you know, learn to compliment. You can learn to smile. You can learn to have gratitude. You can learn to be, you know, positive. And I just feel like I was one of them people who lived to the old character, who like, even if I thought something positive, I'm like, well, I wouldn't say that. I can't say something like that. I can't tell my homie like, happy birthday. That's lame. You know what I mean? Like, not as extreme, but like, I couldn't like, I just really felt like I had to be certain ways. Like, the character of me doesn't do this. He does that, you know? And that was a subconscious thing where I had to like really identify that thought and be like, where does that thought come from? Why is that thought not? Because I just had thoughts and I thought that was the end of the story. Like, if I have a thought, then that's what I think and that's what's real. But like, I learned, you know, I think I even learned this still in addiction, where I was just like, I don't have to do what I think I have to do. And that was mind blowing to me, to be like, huh, I could just fucking flip my script tomorrow and be completely different, you know, and be how I always wanted to be or how I'd like to be, you know. I just have to choose to do it.
Yeah, that makes sense why you have a thing with retelling my old story. But you know, there's a difference between, you know, having a certain image of yourself in your mind of how you are and telling yourself that, or coming out with the truth of how you are and just talking about it. You know what I mean?
No, what do you mean?
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
Am I? Just tell me what you mean for fun. I really don't know what you mean.
Like you're saying, like, oh, I wouldn't say happy birthday to my homie. Like, that's that's just having a certain image of how you think you are.
Right.
Now, but then coming out and talking about what's actually going on that you've noticed about yourself and just talking about it, that's different, you know, like with the, you know, you're like, maybe, you know, I don't know though. But like with this, it's like, well, I'm for sure I'm not going to say happy birthday, or I'm antisocial. Mm. Like, because I've just always been that way. And, you know, you're seeking out facts to prove that. But with, you know, things that you are not sure about, that you're like, well, I'm kind of noticing this, but I don't know. I feel like that's different in a way. That actually makes me kind of think about my shit for a minute.
Oh, shocker. No, it's...
Yeah, so like, if I'm sitting there saying how, you know, oh, I'll never learn to be alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be okay with being alone. It's like, there's a difference between me talking about it and just, you know, having it solution based rather than stuck based. Like, well, I'll just, you know, just sitting there talking about it and just kind of downsizing myself. Like, well, this is just how I am, you know? And then, or being like, okay, well, this is how I feel like I'll be, and how do I get out of that? You know what I mean?
Right. That's what I mean. Telling the old story, this is how I am. What are you doing? You're talking about the past. You're labeling your future self or your present self with past actions and behaviors. So if you say, like in your case, like, I feel like I won't be able to ever be alone. You know what I mean? That's different. If you say, I'll never be able to be alone, right? Let's just say you told yourself that every time the topic of can you ever be alone gets brought up, what will you do? You'll just continue to believe it. You'll reinforce it. You'll make it stronger, you know, and then you're talking about future terms. So you're basically condemning yourself to feeling that way forever. So right there, all in problem area focus, not present, you know. When you say, I feel like that, yes, that's more present based, right? And then instead of saying like, why do I feel that way, and list all the reasons, you say, how can I maybe address that? Or, you know, like almost reverse engineering. How did I start feeling this way? Oh, well, these reasons. And then like, okay, so the answer must be like some opposites there.
But, and it's also just about accepting like, yeah, this is where I'm at with this right now.
Right. This is where I'm at right now. This is how I feel right now.
Yeah, this is how I feel like, yeah.
So what have we learned today? Let's have a recap. You want to start doing recaps?
No.
You want to do a recap?
No.
You want to do a recap?
Fine.
All right, so we talked about presence. We talked about staying out of the fuckery of the past. We said, don't waste your time trying to plan the future. You're not a fucking psychic. We talked about
ego empath.
I'm going to name it that. I love it. Some other type of ego farts and smelling congestions and absorbing your co-mate's thoughts right from their brain into your skull. A little bit about drugs.
You just totally did that so you could do your YouTube description faster.
Oh shit. I haven't even fucking uploaded anything to YouTube in like 3 months. Like, it takes too long.
Yeah.
To make these fancy ass looking videos. I've been slacking on descriptions too. So you know what? Hey man, what's going down? Yeah, we just you know, just do it like that.
Wow, we got an hour.
Hey. We love you. Are they gone?
Who?
The people.